Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve, everyone. Yes, it's a Thursday. It's time for Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. And some great guests lined up today. It's going to be one long interview. Well, you know me, that word interview. It's going to be one great long conversation with the co-hosts of another podcast. Yes, from Backlot 605, which is a great podcast all about movies, fun stuff. A local podcast with Casey Kelderman and Brian Mensing as the co-hosts. I was just on their show. Had a great time recording with them twice in the past week now. Life is good in that way, isn't it? Speaking of good, we've got some good news, bad news, sad news, regrettably, here this week in the world of entertainment. First of all, on a local basis, Goodnight Theater Collective season will be going forward, but it is moving to the Washington Pavilion for this year so they can figure out social distancing a little bit better and so forth than when they've had it in the Icon in the past. So that's why the move. Looking forward to that. Sad news, SuperCon has been canceled this year. Also sad news, the Clay County Fair in Spencer, Iowa has been canceled for 2020 also. Some great memories from the Clay County Fair. And first of all, a little bit of trivia. My step-grandfather started the Clay County Fair in the backyard of his farm. Yeah, it's been going on a long time, and he was so proud, you know, then when they moved into town and so forth, he'd sit there and watch the parade, and he had the quote-unquote, the golden pass, so that he could get in free every year. And it was part of our family that had some of the land that then was purchased for expansion. Also, you know, ran one of the big parking lots for a while, etc. Great times there. And two things stand out with the Clay County Fair in Spencer, Iowa. First, I got to see Bob Hope do stand-up comedy, the first live comedian I saw. So it wasn't any longer just that I'd seen great comedians on TV. I got to see Bob Hope. And I will always remember the joke that he told. Two guys are sitting on top of the roof of a house. The flood that they were experiencing had come up right to the level of the roof. And they notice there's this hat going back and forth, back and forth. One guy says, "What's that?" The other guy says, "Oh, that's just Charlie. Yesterday he said, 'Come tomorrow, I'm mowing my yard, come hell or high water.'" So I have never forgotten that. Also, when Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood were not yet Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, the couple, she opened for him. He had a great album already out and started in on that road to fame, and she had her single out, "She's in Love with a Boy." Little did we know what that might mean a little bit later, did we? And the ticket price for those two, now superstars, $6. So, gonna miss the Clay County Fair. Also, gonna miss this country legend. Normally, I don't talk much about big acts and, you know, national acts. I usually like to talk about local things. But I met the man once, saw him in concert twice. Charlie Daniels, one of my absolute favorites, passed away this week. Had a stroke, and he passed away on Monday. He was 83. He was from Mount Juliet, Tennessee, which is where my sister and her family reside. So not far away, and Gonna miss him. You know, the devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. And that always makes me think of when I was a junior in college. We were on a trip to, I went to college at what's now Southwest Minnesota State University. Back then, it was just SSU, Southwest State University. Speech tournament in February. I just remember being cold and we had to drive through a little bit of snow up in the Twin Cities. On the way back from that, and there's a van of us, probably about eight students and our professor, advisor, speech coach, and The Devil Went Down to Georgia comes on, and we all sing it, word for word. And his response was, why the hell can't you people remember the speeches you write? You can remember that entire song, but you can't remember the speech that you just wrote this week. But anyway, so sad news about Charlie Daniels. All right, let's get back to fun stuff. For those of you that are joining for the first time, a little segment we like to call
Honorable Mention.
This is the opportunity for someone, something to be honored for the week because it brought a smile to my face, or it may have just made me chuckle. I might have shed a tear out of joy. This week, it goes to the Sioux Falls Canaries baseball team. They are back in action. Got to take it in over the weekend. Went to the Sunday evening game. Yeah, the Sunday games now start at 5:05 in the evening. It was much nicer having it start then. Little breeze came along, and it, you know, normally would have started like 12:30 on Sundays in the past years. 1 o'clock, sometime in that frame, and would have been hot. So, thank you, Sioux Falls Canaries, for having local baseball back. It felt good to sit in the stands, have a beer and a dog. Tasty dog, by the way, but I refer to a beer and a dog as the Terrence Mann. And if you know that reference, email me, DaveHollyHour@gmail.com, and I just may have a little prize for you. Okay. In the meantime, once again, thank you to the Canaries. You are this week's winner of the coveted honorable mention. When we return, great conversation with Casey Kuldeman and Brian Mensing talking about Backlot 605. It's their podcast and talking about film in general. Fun times await us on the Dave Holly Hour.
Hey, I'm Zach Dresch, and I love Books and Brews Pizza. So does my friend Dave. In fact, the latest pizza on the Books and Brews Pizzeria menu is called The Podcaster, inspired by Dave. Now you have a chance to win pizza with a podcaster. Go to DaveHollyHour.com. Go to the contact page and send an email. Put pizza with a podcaster in the subject line. Then in the comments, tell them what your favorite episode was, or maybe even who your favorite guest has been. You could even say, Zach Dresch, since I've been on a couple of times. Then the first show each month, Dave will draw a winner for pizza with a podcaster. Yeah, that means Dave will be there with you and maybe even your favorite guest, like Zach Dresch. Enter as often as you like. Remember, DaveHollyHour.com, contact, email, pizza with a podcaster in the subject line, and show faves in the message. After all, Books and Brews is the original Dave's fave. Pizza with a podcaster, brought to you by Books and Brews Pizzeria, downtown Sioux Falls.
So much more than podcasting. Find out more online, DaveHollyHour.com.
Happy weekend eve, everybody. Another Thursday rolls around. It is time to continue to talk arts and entertainment. Love to do so. And just had the privilege this past week of being interviewed by the two guys I'm interviewing today from Backlot 605 Podcast, Casey Kuldeman and Brian Mensing. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing great as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again. It was a blast being on your podcast. I hope that after we're finished with our conversation, you can say the same thing.
Right now, it's already looking good the way it is.
Okay. We're off to a swell start then. Yes. Excellent. So when did you guys start Backlot 605? And what, and I always have to use this word at some point in my show, what was the impetus?
We started this. Okay. So it's a, to make a long story short.
Oh, we've got an hour. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. We got time. So me and Brian actually met, because we were both coworkers at Lewis Drug. He was working there part-time, and I had just moved over to his store, and I was working customer service. He was back in our money room area, which was, it was in the same part of the store. So, eventually we got to the point where Lewis Drug was still doing video rentals. If people remember those, like I should be talking, I'm 26 years old. I shouldn't remember what video rentals are. But anyway, we got to start, started talking about movies back there, and you know, we probably should have been working, but we were talking about movies, but eventually it got to the point where we're like, why don't we just get some microphones and see if people want to listen to us? That's pretty much the impetus of Backlot 605. And so the podcast went live, I believe, in November, the first week of November of 2018. Yep. So we're nearing 2 years here this November. But yeah, we've been growing and expanding ever since then. And we're going to be nearing our 100th episode in October.
Excellent.
And, yeah, it's been a great time, and 2 years that's flown by.
And I would also like to point out, in terms of the scale of when we first met and realized we enjoyed movies and whatnot, he starts in July, and we start rolling this out 4 months later.
Didn't take long.
No, so we only knew each other for those 4 months before we jumped into this, yeah.
All right. So did you go to any movies together, or was it all just the fact you'd been seeing people rent movies and it was like, we've got this similarity and so forth, but do you guys go to movies together?
Well, not right now, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going anywhere right now?
I did yesterday, in fact, actually. I went to the West Mall and go check out the Impractical Jokers movie because I'm like, you know what? I got the day off. What am I going to go do?
Excellent. Good for you and for supporting local, too. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for those that have continued to live in the COVID shell like most of us, we're still a few weeks away from having the big theaters in town open back up. But, you know, God bless everybody out there at West Mall 7. Being able to do so, and they're doing some fun stuff too, and providing, you know, some neat ways for people to see movies at this time. So that's great. All right. So what was the very first movie? Let's go with you first, Casey. The very first movie you can remember seeing in a theater.
Funnily enough, I popped this on last night for just to have something on in the background. It was the Matthew Broderick led film from 1999, Inspector Gadget. I don't know why, because my parents were not movie people, but for some reason, my dad must have had a lazy Saturday afternoon or something like that, and he decided to take me to the Laverne Palace Theater in Laverne, Minnesota, and go watch Inspector Gadget. So that was the first one that I remember watching in the theater.
All right. And how about for you then, Brian?
Oh, as I'm definitely aged differently than their Casey there, I sometimes forget what it is. What I could probably lead to is the first, like, knowing I went to the movies in the theater that's has the memory burned into my brain is I remember seeing Ghostbusters 2 in like 90. And that's only because there was a couple aspects of the movie that, you know, as a 12-year-old kid, whatever scared the living crap out of me, and had to call mom because I was visiting my aunt up in Pier at the time.
Yeah. And for me, it was the Rapids Theater, although I have seen many movies in the Laverne Palace Theater in my lifetime. Rock Rapids, the Rapids Theater, it was The Ghost of Mr. Chicken Heart starring Don Knotts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm settling back. You guys got to catch these things on TCM when they show up, you know.
anything with those old Don Knotts films are just fantastic.
Oh, and you know, the thing that I've gotten into lately is I've been watching some of the old Jerry Lewis shows, you know, like Cinderfella. Oh, yeah. And just, you know, dying laughing. And also, you know, looking at the genius that he had in his type of comedy. You know, that's one of the great things about movies is look at the different things we mentioned and the genres that we have. So, Brian, is there a genre that you tend to be more drawn toward?
I would have to say that the genre probably would lean more into like the action adventure type of films. I'm, as many of my friends and Casey are well versed in, the fact that I'm a huge nerd for like the Fast and Furious movies. Anything that's kind of an adrenaline type of film, you know, I'm definitely all there for. But one thing that's been nice about doing all this is it has helped me expand looking into other films that either I didn't know about or be like, hey, well, you know, so-and-so likes this movie. Maybe I'll give more of a shot.
How about you, Casey? What draws you most?
Yeah, the again, because me and Brian have known each other so much, Brian is the Fast and the Furious guy on our show. And I am known as the horror guy on our show. horror movies are my go-to, but again, I like all genres pretty much. I have a soft spot for musicals. I love some great comedies, action adventure movies, like Brian said, and like I'll reiterate what you said, Brian. I love that on our show we get to expand our knowledge of film because we'll bring on guests and they'll pick out a movie that we have never seen. Sometimes maybe we've never heard of, and we grow to just absolutely love it, and it expands our taste in film even more. So that's absolutely what I love doing most, is expanding our knowledge of film and just keep on learning. That's the biggest thing I love about our show, is I'm constantly learning about new technologies on the back side of it, and then in front of the camera, in front of the microphone, get to expand our knowledge on film. It's quite a good time.
You recall what the first movie that you, shall we say, reviewed together on the podcast was?
Oh goodness, man. Gracious. I remember, so one of the first episodes we did, and this isn't really reviewing a movie, but it's one of the earliest memories I have since we've done almost 100 of these, was, I believe it was like the third episode we did was right after Stan Lee passed away, the great Stan Lee of Marvel Comics. And we went for almost 2 hours just discussing Stan Lee and his work and how much influence he's had on the film culture of today. And that was the earliest memory I have of us discussing in depth a topic.
Well, and I was also thinking when we basically went straight on for a singular movie, when it was Avengers or no, Star Wars. I think it might have been Star Wars because it would have been that December. Whereas that was strictly the entire topic was just getting through, you know, our top of the show kind of stuff, and then just strictly talking about the movie, our experience with the movie, spoiler alert, you know, that sort of thing.
Anything big planned for the 100th episode?
I have no idea yet. We have a big notes sheet that we have for episodes that are upcoming, and all I have is 100th episode. I believe the first week of October is when that one will be our 100th. I don't know what we're doing yet. We're gonna have something big. We have to go big because that's 100.
We're gonna have to do, yeah, right.
That's a big milestone. So
no, until you said the 100th, I'm like, it's not that. Yeah, it is just around the corner.
Yeah, it won't be long. That is for sure. And speaking of milestones and so forth, I started mine October 10th. So the first week of October, because I did take, you know, a couple episodes off during COVID, I will probably be halfway to you guys. I should hit number 50 about the time you guys hit number 100.
Awesome. Nice. That's awesome.
I think that's going to require some beers.
Yes.
I'd be down for that.
All right.
Maybe we need to like somehow get us all together and celebrating the 50th and the 100th all in one big show.
One big show. We should do that. Yes, because see, you know, I'm learning in this too. You know, I had a broadcast background, but you know, I've also been out of broadcasting for about a decade. And it was just like, you know, I just got stuff. I want to talk to people and have a good time. There's everybody jumping on this podcast bandwagon. I might as well, too. So, you know, I had a fairly good idea about microphones, mixers, things along that line. But, you know, now a Zoom meeting with you guys. And you guys have done live, correct?
Correct.
Yes, and see, that's something I'm sitting here on the edge going, ooh, what's it going to take? So maybe we have to have a combined live show for that.
That'd be fun. Yeah,
that would be a good thing. We can promote it and of course, mm-hmm. have beers.
Heck yeah.
Have beers. All right. And so you decide that you got to have this Backlot 605. What did you decide was going to be the theme of it to begin with, other than just the fact you guys like movies? You know, did you have any idea where you were headed?
I would say the first thing we wanted to do was have a platform to discuss and talk about movies first and foremost, because mm-hmm. I had said earlier, me and Brian just talked to movies at work all the time. And so we figured, let's get some microphones. Let's do this. But the biggest thing with that was that we felt South Dakota hadn't really had a big film boom. We were building up here in South Dakota, especially, and it's been showcased on your show many times. The arts in this, in Sioux Falls especially, has been growing and expanding with theater and live entertainment and music. But I always felt that film was something that was missing in this community. And so mm-hmm. we wanted to be mm-hmm. the center of that. And Brian, what was the term you always had for what we wanted to be? Like, we wanted to be the umbrella over the film community.
Yeah, kind of, you know, that, yeah, an umbrella, like the epicenter, the go-to place where it's like, hey, you know, if there's stuff that's going on, you know, not everybody's going to know that. Like, say, for instance, when we started doing this, I even myself personally, who is a big lover of film and whatnot, I had no idea that Cinema Falls was even a thing. And Julie's been doing this for multiple years now, you know, something where somebody would be able to have that opportunity, that ability to look at us and say, okay, what's going on in the community, or whether it be on a national scale or even on an independent local scale, you know, where can we showcase, especially the individual and independent artists of the local, while being able to get the information out for the bigger, grander scale national films.
Remember back to when you were working together the first times and the idea came about, you found out the love of film. From that point, where do you see this going now that you've done almost 2 years of podcasting? What else do you want to have come forward with this?
We just want to keep growing. I think that's right. The biggest thing we want. We want to, you know, we want as many ears on the podcast as we can, as many eyes on our written reviews as possible. We just want to expand people's knowledge of film, like ours has been, because in no way are me and Brian experts at what we're doing at all.
No, fair. No, not at all.
But we just love film so much that we just want to keep expanding our knowledge and then sharing what we have learned with other people and vice versa. Like, we want to hear from people that listen to our show and want to recommend stuff to us, and we'll watch and review it on our show or bring them as a guest onto our show. I think that's what we want to keep doing. And then as far as South Dakota wise, the 605 of the Backlot, we just want to keep bringing film as an entertainment and an art form into this city of Sioux Falls, especially and into the state of South Dakota. I mean, South Dakota has we've had some big films, you know, Dances with Wolves is the one we still promote. But that was 1989, and we want to bring that up more because there is smaller films that are being made in South Dakota, and we want to bring those directors and filmmakers on. And we've had some of them on our show to discuss their films and their work, and it's been great. And I mean, we've built friendships that we've mm-hmm. you know, will last a lifetime because of this show.
So obviously a love of film comes from going to a theater and seeing what we would call a major production for the most part, because we don't get a lot of indie, we don't get a lot of shorts around here and so forth. But then when you do talk to somebody that's made an indie movie, a short, etc., what do you learn from them about the film business and film production?
Well, I mean, I guess for the sake of like business and whatnot is, you know, knowing, you know, there's a lot that we have just learned from like the back end side of things of, you know, having the opportunity to speak with like the state theater or some on the lines of like the producers and whatnot. And, you know, just, I mean, I'm even just fascinated in the idea of what film studios and what these companies are doing to help curb even just piracy. You know, how are these films delivered to the theaters? Because it's not the old school method anymore of delivering a 35 millimeter reel to the theater and keeping that safe. You know, they're coming on hard drives that are encoded with the encryption that expires after a certain amount of time. It's, you know, seeing how technology is changing and evolving to that these theaters are even having to adapt to. Look at like the state, for example, that's, you know, updating the equipment just so they can be able to provide the films that they want to show, just because what they had was no longer going to even work for them.
Yeah. And as far as like the production side of like filmmakers in Sioux Falls, like I've been fascinated by how many films are made in the state of South Dakota and are just not talked about. We've had multiple directors on, and I'll throw out one name right now because it's the one I'm thinking of. His name's Brandon Lunsman. Mm-hmm. He is from the Aberdeen, South Dakota area, and he made a feature film called Tales of American Hood Rat, and it hit multiple film festivals, including the South Dakota Film Festival. But again, it wasn't talked about anywhere in the state, and we were one of the first places that they hit for publicity for the film, and we've had Brandon on the show now multiple times, and he'll be a future guest in an upcoming episode too that we're planning with him. But it just fascinates me that these movies are not being talked about unless, let's say, the director or someone big and famous from Hollywood comes and visits South Dakota. I'm like, mm-hmm. We're making great film here and right now in the state of South Dakota. And that needs to get out there to people, because people should realize that that's a thing that happens here. I mean, I grew up in a small town of 3,000 people in Rock Valley, Iowa, and I never thought what I'm doing right now was a possibility. Right. Never thought that for one second.
So let's talk about how we can all collectively, you know, our arts and entertainment community around Sioux Falls and the greater Sioux Empire, help them out then. You know, what do we see? What should we be building on and collaborating on to make that all happen?
I think the biggest thing is if these places have a Facebook page or have their film available on streaming like iTunes or Amazon, go watch the film. Make sure you leave a rating on the film or on the Facebook. Give them their Facebook page a like and review the film there. Any sort of publicity like that helps them immensely.
IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, yes. any place where mm-hmm. someone can have a voice to be able to say what they think of the film.
And then as far as like the South Dakota thing goes, is try to get your local theaters to say, hey, I want to see more local stuff here or more independent stuff at mm-hmm. the theater. You know, we all love the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies. Don't get me wrong, because I do. But along with that, I would like to see some of these smaller films, especially local ones, on the big screen. Because that's how these filmmakers want them to be seen, with a big audience on the biggest screen possible.
Mm-hmm. But let's talk about that a little bit, though. You know, obviously, it's nice that we have the West Mall 7. It's approachable. You can go in there and say, hey, can I talk to somebody about this? But what about the bigger theaters? How do we get that accomplished at this level then?
That's where I think it's going to be. That's where I think it's just tricky just in general, because, you know, we can't just go to, you know, unlike the West Mall, for example, that is locally owned, you can't just go to a manager at, like, say, the Century Theaters and say, hey, we want to do this and whatnot, you know, because programming and everything is done, you know, above their head, you know, and trying to convince, you know, somebody on, you know, a scale like the Century and the Cinemark theaters to say, hey, we want to be able to try to optimize on this one particular, you know, just even a singular screen, even if it's just one set, you know, a smaller theater, you know, they're looking at the big picture. Well, what's it going to cost? And is it going to be even viable for us to even do this kind of thing? So I think it's just a matter of trying to find a way to build a relationship that is going to allow some sort of big theater, you know, chain to be able to kind of back the more independent style films.
Casey, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, with the big chain theaters like the Cinemark, like we have here in Sioux Falls, or the AMC, which is in Rapid City and in Sioux City, I don't want to say it's impossible, because anything is possible, but it is near impossible, which is why I'm grateful we have places like the West Mall, the State Theater, what Cinema Falls is doing, mm-hmm. even going to smaller surrounding towns. They're all locally owned. They might be single screen, but they're locally owned. So that's where I think you need to share your voice. Don't, not saying that it's not worth a try with the Cinemarks, but mm-hmm. going to the West Mall and saying, hey, I would like to see, you know, local stuff shown here more. They might be able to listen to you more. And I know they have done it before in the past. I know there has been local screenings, and that's one thing I'm very grateful for such places like Cinema Falls for bringing, they'll bring Parasite. In local, yeah, they brought in Parasite, which was a big independent film, and they'll bring in, you know, local stuff too. So they bring in quite an array of independent film into the city. And I would just love to see more people go out and support that, because if you support that, that's how we get more
right.
These events coming back to our
yeah,
area.
Yeah, because we do need that to grow, because I, you know, being a lover of film, obviously I don't get to catch everything that comes out. And I'm assuming neither of you get to either, but still
right.
when those announcements come out every year, and it's going to be different this year, obviously, about the Oscars and who's nominated, what shows are nominated. A lot of people around here, you know, we're a good sized city and we're still scratching our head going, never heard of it. Mm-hmm. Never yep. even heard of it. So, you know, obviously, I hope that we can continue to make things happen around here, and that would be lovely. And I want to take just a short break here and come back, because I want to talk about the state with you guys, because I know that you've already talked to the executive director and want to get your ideas on what's going to be happening in the future here when mm-hmm. we come back in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps Fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends, enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
The Dave Holly Hour. Like eavesdropping on a great conversation between two very interesting people.
Welcome back. I have Brian Mensing and Casey Kelderman on the show today, and they are some great guys that just happen to love film. If you missed it earlier, you're jumping in partway through on the podcast, not a problem. That's the great thing about a podcast. You can go back and catch a whole darn thing if you'd like. And so we'll just get you up to speed. We've been talking about, you know, hopefully, you know, increasing local and increasing South Dakota films being seen in this area. And moving on, and one of those things that could happen would be with the fact that the State Theater is going to be up and running, functional soon. And we look forward to it, because that's A, nostalgia, B, downtown, and that's thriving. So let's make that thrive in that location as well. All right, so you guys on Backlot 605 have spoken to the new executive director of the State Theater. What's your take on where we're headed with it?
I think we're headed into a good space. They realize the market they're in, and for the sake of that, they're going to be a single screen theater, and looking at they're not going to be able to go into some of these bigger, huge franchise films because they can't get locked into how many weeks being solely just that one movie kind of thing. Leave that up to like the Century and stuff like that, and lean on the repertory screenings, lean on community independent films type of thing. So I think them opening up is definitely going to lean into exactly what we want to see, come into Sioux Falls for the sake of film.
Yeah, I don't think Sioux Falls is ready for this. I think we've been waiting for this for so long, and to finally have the State Theater back open is going to be huge for this city, because like Brian said, they're not going to be bringing in, the Star Wars movies, the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. No, they're going to be bringing in repertory screenings or independent screenings, which Sioux Falls needs that to continue building their art scene. We need an art house theater downtown, and that's what, for the most part, this is going to be. And I'm just absolutely ecstatic that this is going to finally be opening. Hopefully this fall is what we've been hearing. It will be opening day. And mm-hmm. I've been waiting for a repertory screening theater in this area for a very long time. Funnily enough, that's what every local theater like the West Mall has been doing. So who knew, all it would take was a global pandemic for us to get repertory screenings in South Dakota. But to see it in a place that has such historical significance for Sioux Falls is going to be on a whole other level. To see a movie like, let's say, I'll throw out like Citizen Kane on the big screen downtown Sioux Falls at the State Theater, I can't even imagine it. To be honest, I can't imagine how great that's going to be to finally have this type of theater in our city.
I'm looking forward to it for many a reason. Go ahead, Brian. I'll come back and tell my nostalgia.
Well, I was just going to say is that you've kind of leaned on this here, Casey, with the sake of the pandemic and the repertory screenings. Is what I'm hoping for is that if there's any silver lining for the sake of film in towns, whether you're talking Sioux Falls or even bigger communities, if there's any silver lining I'm hoping we get out of this whole pandemic thing, is the fact that the studios are going to be looking and listening and seeing, these repertory screenings are worth something. Obviously they're not going to be huge money makers, but maybe this is something that they lean on to help keep, a certain brand, like, say, for instance, like the Star Wars films or, some of these older ones. Because I mean, like me, for example, the one and only time I have ever seen the original Star Wars in theaters was when they did the re-releases in the late 90s. Maybe they will see some of these repertory screenings as a way of saying, hey, maybe we'll do this more often because we know that people are wanting to go see these.
Well, I grew up years before you guys did, not too far from here. And despite the fact that the Rapids Theater was a fun place to go and local, and, could be dropped off by mom and dad at 7 o'clock and picked up at 9:30.
Yep.
When you got a little older and got to come up to Sioux Falls, first they had a place called the K, which primarily was where you would find any Disney made show. And then there was the State, and the State was where I had my first official date.
Wow.
And wow. We're going to throw you for a loop on what the great romantic show was. Any Which Way But Loose, Clint Eastwood, January of 1979.
Wow.
But still, there's that nostalgia. And then,
yes.
And I can't wait to see this finished project, because ever since they started working on this, I'm talking, more like 15 to 20 years ago when they were first starting to work toward what we're getting near the end of. I was working at Kalawayam at the time. And I remember when they, came out with some of the drawings, and so the media got to take a tour. And I'm sitting there going, wow, first of all, because I could remember that then, and other shows that I had seen there. And then also just looking at the magnitude of that building versus any commercial theater you go into now. mm-hmm. and thinking, what an awesome place. And it's so needed. And let's get ready. And then it just, it was, you know, back burner for a long, long time. And then, you know, downtown started to pop again. And everybody got more interested in going downtown. So then some more things came along. They got a nice benefactor and getting a mortgage taken care of and so forth. And so then it's you know, and it just keeps building and building and building. And then they started to open it up for some tours. And you'd walk through there and just take a look at everything getting restored back to that original look. And, you know, just, again, architecturally, the facility is amazing. And, you know, sentimentally, it's amazing too. And I hope that when it is finally opened, we take those steps in and we go, wow, we're in a theater now. And on a little, you know, sidebar to it as well, that little office area or that little spot above the marquee, I think would be one of the greatest little offices in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have yeah. that.
Right. I'll say this, you know, being that we when we went to go do the interview with them and we actually got to be inside the state, and I know that Casey can attest to this, is that, you know, we were in awe, and that was while it's under construction. That's while, you know, there's a bunch of plastic up, you know, in certain areas that we can't even see. And I know that even though we were in awe then, as soon as it is open and ready for the public, we're going to be still awestruck even more than what we were the first time. And we have seen, you know, parts of it.
Yeah. I remember saying when we got the tour in there, I walked into the main theater area and I just said, this is church. This is my church right here.
Yes.
You know, I can almost smell the popcorn right now.
Right.
Yeah. And so look forward to things along that line and some of the films that they'll be bringing back. And you know what's interesting, I kind of want to go off on a little tangent here about this too, is that I find it interesting that as we're kind of working toward a place that we would be able to see some classics, the bigger chains up until COVID hit were getting to the point of, you know, 40th, 50th anniversary of certain films and so mm-hmm. forth. And so there is a draw out there, and there's a huge audience, you know, no pun intended, or maybe intended, that is waiting for this. And speaking of puns, Brian, I had to say when you were saying, you know, that maybe during this whole ordeal, the silver lining, silver mm-hmm. screen lining for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, but, you know, like you mentioned that, Casey, too. Are we going to be ready for it? Because I think it's just going to explode when this hits and takes mm-hmm. off. And what are you looking forward to seeing there most?
I mean, for me, I mean, I would say I want to see some of the classic horror films on the big screen. One of the movies that Steven, the GM there at the state, said he was planning, it was a Cujo and what was and
Old Yeller.
Old Yeller double feature. I think that would be tremendous. I would love to see out of the box stuff like that. And for me, some of the stuff I would want to see like Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho on the big screen. I've never seen John Carpenter's Halloween. That's some of the big stuff I want to see on the big screen.
Yeah, you say that, and I'm over here thinking, you know, give me like a Back to the Future triple feature. Like, let me be there all day to experience Back to the Future.
Yeah.
I mean, like right now, we're on the October will be the 35th anniversary, you know, and these repertory screenings have been showing the original Back to the Future, but it's like, for the sake of the repertory screenings, at least as of right now, we're not getting any love for the sake of Back to the Future 2 or Back to the Future 3, which one will say that the original Back to the Future is absolutely a perfect film and whatnot, but those other two are nothing to be, you know, shake away. And I would love to be able to see some of these, you know, movies that have garnered such honor over the years, even if there's multiples or something like that, but to do some sort of double or triple feature at the state or some of these other venues as well.
I'm looking forward to that too. You know, I want a day, and I kind of lean more like Casey was talking about. I would love to see a Hitchcock marathon. You know, and obviously that wouldn't just be in a day. That would probably be a pretty good long weekend too.
Yeah, right.
That could take. So there are so many things out there. Let's switch over a little bit now and kind of tie in one of the things you guys tend to be doing on your podcast a lot with marathons and, you know, featuring things. You guys are really getting into some really fun themes. And theming the show, and you know we've got Arnold versus Sly coming up. That one still, we talked about it on your podcast, I'm enthralled because you, Casey, then when you said that about you know, kind of thinking out of the box and so forth, you guys love doing that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. When you talk about the mini series thing, that was kind of a happy accident. How we're doing the themed episodes per month, that was because of COVID. Because before that, we were theming each episode was themed towards a movie that was coming out that weekend. Like we talk about, you know, the Spider-Man movies before the new Spider-Man, the Fast and the Furious movies before the new Fast and the Furious, and because of COVID, there was no movies in the theater, so we were trying to find a theme for an entire month so we could cover, you know, films more in depth that way. And, you know, June, we did a Pride miniseries, and I mean, all four films were brand new to me and Brian for that. And
yep.
We kicked off our patriotic miniseries for July with you, Dave, talking about the Patriots, and we're going to be continuing to do that. In August, we're doing baseball movies because the baseball season will finally be in swing by then. So
pun intended.
Yeah. Pun intended. Yeah.
Pun fully intended.
Schedule came out today, by the way. So yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing. And like Casey said, it was again maybe call another silver lining to the COVID. It was a happy accident, but at the same time too, and Casey kind of points to this for the sake of the Pride Month that we did here, is it's actually opened us more into films that we ourselves even mm-hmm. haven't even seen, to be able to provide a fresh take. You know, some of these movies, one of the movies we saw was Gods and Monsters, which was 98. So you're talking a movie that's 22 years old that I had never even seen, I had heard of and whatnot, but I went into the movie completely blind and absolutely loving the movie, but it's been nice. And I think that even once the movies start up, there might be a little bit of variation, but I think I like the idea of us continuing the series of things. It kind of gives us a theme and a way to be able to experience more movies than just thinking, okay, well, we've already seen, you know, Fast and Furious. Okay, so let's talk about Fast and the Furious movies. Well, those are something that many people have seen over and over again. Maybe this will allow us to be able to find other movies that even him and myself may have never even seen.
What do you think makes a great theme? Are you just having fun at this point, pulling things out of the hat and say, let's do it, see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, we have a list of some ideas we want to do in the future, but I mean, if we can, we want to focus like on a filmmaker or a certain genre of film. Like yeah. Pride Month was more of a genre type of film, and but within that, we had a musical, a teen movie, a serious drama, a biography movie. Like there was so much we threw in there, and so even with a theme, we have different genres within that theme. Because
right.
like with July, we're doing patriotic movies. We did, you know, the action movie, The Patriot. We're throwing in, you know, an 80s action movie with Red Dawn in there. But we're also going to do a comedy with Team America, World Police. And that's what I love about the miniseries the most, is what I'm finding. Like Brian said, it was a happy accident. But I feel like we're getting in a groove now with this, because
yeah.
we can really have fun with it.
We can have fun with it. And like you've pointed out, is that while there's a theme, there's so many subgenres that fall into the overall theme that we can still have fun and then let it be diverse over the course of the month.
Mm-hmm. And I want to jump back to what Dave had mentioned earlier with the Sly and Arnie show that we're going to be doing. Yeah. So
that's all you.
That was all me. So in January, we did our first live show, which was at the Whitewall Sessions in Last Stop CD Shop. And we did the top 20 movies of the decade for that show. And ever since then, immediately after that show, we're like, all right, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? And what are we doing next? And we had a meeting, I think, a week before COVID really hit with Last Stop. We had scheduled a meeting, and then COVID hit. And it just wiped everything clean. Like it stopped. We couldn't do any events, no live events for a while. And finally now things are starting to get, you know, lifted. Restrictions are a little looser now, but with this, we're doing a semi live show with this, where all of us participating will be live, but we will also unfortunately not be having people in audience, but we will be streaming the podcast live as we're doing it. So it has a little of both for right now. And we're going to be ranking the top 20 movies of the two greatest action stars of all time with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. And I think it's going to be a little dicey. It's going to be fun, though.
Now you said that there wouldn't be a live audience, but you're going to be streaming it. Will there be ways for people to ask questions via text, via Messenger, anything along that line?
Yeah, we're learning along the way with this whole technology side of doing a podcast, because we have hosted trivia night a couple times on Zoom and then Facebook live stream.
I did too. I understand the pain.
Yeah. So we'll be streaming it to Facebook Live, so people can be able to. There is a chat on Facebook Live as you're watching it, so you can send in your picks there, and you know, hopefully we. The idea with the live shows and doing our top 20 rankings was always to create an environment like a professional wrestling event is always what we wanted out of it. And we want people booing and cheering. And, you know, if you can do that via text while we're playing the game, we're going to have someone behind the scenes reading those off and playing along with us. It's going to be fun.
Oh, that sounds like a blast. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, let's just talk about, you know, a film in general. What draws you to a particular artist, you know, a particular actor or actress or a particular director? What do you think is, you know, the when somebody says, oh, Spielberg, you know, anything he does, I'm going to. Mm-hmm. What do you think is something that makes a person go a route like that to just a director, just an actor or actress?
I think for the sake of, if you're going for like a specific like that, a certain director, certain actress or whatnot, it definitely falls into their work. Their, you know, what have they already produced? So like me, for example, here, the first thing I could tell you is if you said director, the first thing I'm going to tell you is if Tarantino says he's making a film, that I'm already in. I haven't heard anything else, but I know I'm gonna go because I know the quality of work that is there. He always keeps everyone on his toes. You know, the last couple films have been more Western, obviously, and whatnot. But for the most part, you get a little bit of anything out of him. So I think it all draws down to the work of the person, that why you want to go see that person.
Yeah, and as far as like actors go, I think the one, funnily enough, that sticks in my mind is because I grew up with him, was Adam Sandler was always a guy in my house that I had to watch anything this guy was in. And he was the first actor I realized what acting was, because I had seen him in multiple movies. Before that, I thought like Harrison Ford was Han Solo. I thought he was just Han Solo. I didn't think there was anything else besides that. But Adam Sandler was kind of the first one I realized. And you know, he's had some ups and downs, you know, along the way, mostly downs in the last few years. Yeah. But then he'll come out with a movie like Uncut Gems from last year and completely knocks it out of the park and delivers the best performance of his career and maybe the best movie that he has done so far in his career, and proves that he can do multitude of things. He can be a serious dramatic actor, but he can also be Adam Sandler, goofball, hanging out with his friends on the beach.
Right.
You know, when we were recording your podcast, talking about The Patriot, we talked so much about cinematography and so many other parts. Do you find that as you start getting into movies in a youth age and then progress and keep going to more, and as you're growing up, you know, and maturing as an adult, that you start looking at more things than just, oh, that was kind of a fun story. Ooh, that was nice, you know, that they shot him up and had bombs going off and so forth. Mm-hmm. That you're looking for more out of a movie now?
I definitely think so. For me, case in point is when 1917 came out. you know, it's an absolutely beautiful movie, very well crafted. But for myself personally, I'm seeing it. It's, you know, for the sake of the action, like I said before and whatnot, it's what drew me to it and whatnot. But then I left thinking, well, that story kind of, for me, fell flat, you know? So, you know, I've gotten to that point where I've matured enough to be able to look and say, hey, you know, it was missing this, it was missing this, but it had this. So I can see the merit in certain aspects of the movie and also see some of the faults in the movie as well.
Yeah, I think with film, like any other art form, you're constantly learning and developing new ideas and theories based on them, especially movies that you rewatch constantly. Mm-hmm. You watch them in a different way every time. Because, for example, to jump back to the West Mall, we rented out a theater at the West Mall a few weeks ago, and we watched Jaws on the big screen, a group of us. And Jaws, for me, is one of the greatest movies ever made. And watching it this time during COVID and watching how the mayor reacts to them wanting to close down the beach was terrifying. The shark was secondary that time watching the movie. It was how manipulative the mayor is in Jaws and how scary that relates to what is going on now. And you know, that's the power of film. You know, that movie came out in 1975, so it's, you know, it's almost 50 years old, and it's still one of the greatest movies ever made, and to still resonate like that now is very strong and powerful.
Right. And history makes a difference and technology makes a difference, because now we take a look at that and go, oh yeah, that's where the shark was plugged in. But I remember seeing that in a full theater, and when that head rolls out of the boat, collectively, everybody came off their seats.
I still jumped out of my seat this last time watching, and I've seen the movie, a dozen times, and still every time I think that just goes to Spielberg's power as a director, how good he is at building every single moment in that movie.
All right. Well, number one. Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to quick say is for the sake of when we went to go see Jaws in the theaters. And that's why I'm hoping these repertory screens become more of a routine thing, is that was the first time I had ever seen Jaws in the theater, whether it be any sort of anniversary or anything like that. To be able to experience one of these movies on the big screen, it's a whole lot different than just seeing what it is that if you pulled your DVD or Blu-ray off the shelf there and just watched it on television.
Yeah, and especially, you know, despite the fact that some people have, you know, I think I saw somebody that had like a 72-inch TV and so forth, it's still, when you get a chance to see something on the big screen, I remember the first time that I ever watched Castaway, and the underwater scenes that took place in that, and I was, because got there late, got like the last seat in row 3, you know, so I'm looking up at that the whole time. It's like, am I drunk? just everything that was going on, such a difference than, you know, sitting here watching it now, if it comes on AMC or whatever, you know, other channel might be running it at midnight and so forth. So there are so many different things along that line that that make those great. But that is one of those that I would consider what I call a default movie, that, you know, whenever it comes on, wherever it's playing, you just, even if it's halfway through already, you go, oh yeah, and you watch it, because you can basically say the dialogue along at the same speed. Yep. Yep. Same emphasis, the whole works, because you've seen it that many times. Mm-hmm. So let's go, Casey. Top default movie for you that no matter what, life stops, you're watching it.
The default is, and Brian's laughing because I think he knows what it is. it's Wayne's World. Wayne's World is my go-to.
Great choice.
Period. Funnily enough, I had just redone my office in my house where we record usually. And so I just popped on Wayne's World in the background, and I was constantly just getting distracted. Even I've seen Wayne's World more than any other movie in my entire life, but I kept getting distracted and getting sucked back into that movie. But then a few weeks ago, I had just watched it on, at home on my tiny TV. And then I saw that Brookings in South Dakota was going to be playing the movie on the big screen. So we made a day trip and went to watch Wayne's World on the big screen as I was quoting the entire movie in the back row. So that is my go-to forever, Wayne's World.
Yes. All right, Brian, what's yours?
And I'm waiting for Casey to go. So here it comes here. yes, is for me, it's Back to the Future. It's on all the time. But at the same time, too, it's one that I grew up with. It's one I'm a huge fan of. I'm a huge fan, and Casey knows this. So, you know, if I'm flipping channels and whatnot, it's on, I stop. It doesn't matter where it's at because I've watched a million times, figuratively speaking. But, you know, I can pretty much pick up that at that point and know exactly what's going on, everything like that. And with these repertory screenings, and I know that they've played them, my schedule hasn't allowed me to go have the ability to go experience them on the big screen. Even though there's been in multiple theaters, I'm like, I just need to find one day where it's going to work for me because I would love to see that on the big screen again.
Well, so happy to have you guys on the show talking about movies, your podcast, Backlot 605. You guys are certainly, you know, like you said, you know, you're not experts about film, but you love film. And that's what I love. I love talking to people that have passion about art forms and so forth. And what you guys do is so great. Thank you so much. Finally, then, because you do watch a lot of movies, when you're not doing this, not doing a podcast, what do you like to do otherwise? How do you like to hang out and what's on the fun schedule?
There's stuff we do besides movies. in all reality, that's my free time is the podcast or watching movies. That is my free time. If I'm not doing that, I, you know, do things around the house. But one thing I do like to do, I like watching like paranormal shows. That really is like one of my like guilty pleasure things. If I just need something mindless on, I'll throw on a paranormal show like Ghost Adventures or something. But yeah, I'm usually watching movies or doing stuff for the podcast.
For me, it's mainly that it's sit down, watch some movies, maybe a little bit of TV. Occasionally I'll hop onto my Xbox, play some games with some friends of mine and whatnot. But yeah, it's a matter of trying to just make the time to watch the movies that we're doing for the show. Trying to watch stuff that I know that I've wanted to watch in my backlog. Heck, I probably own 100 movies I still have never even seen yet. So it's a matter of just play catch up.
Well, that would be a great movie title. Play catch up. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey guys, once again, appreciate it. Go ahead and here's your shout out time. Tell us where we can find Backlot 605.
You can find us. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Backlot 605. And we are also putting on new episodes of the Backlot 605 podcast each and every Wednesday. So you can go check those out on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and on YouTube. Just search Backlot 605. And I'll give one last plug for the Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger live show. That will take place on August 30th. We have that set for 6 p.m. That will go live to Facebook Live. You can watch along there. We will be ranking the top 20 films of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone.
All right. Look forward to it. Thank you so much, Brian Mensing, Casey Kelderman, the co-hosts of Backlot 605 podcast. Catch that. And then, of course, continue to listen to this one, too. That'd be great. All right, back to wrap things up in just a moment.
Hey, I'm Zach Tresh, and I love Books and Brews Pizza. So does my friend Dave. In fact, the latest pizza on the Books and Brews Pizzeria menu is called The Podcaster, inspired by Dave. Now you have a chance to win pizza with a podcaster. Go to DaveHollyHour.com, go to the contact page, and send an email. Put pizza with a podcaster in the subject line. Then in the comments, tell them what your favorite episode was, or maybe even who your favorite guest has been. You could even say, Zach Dresch, since I've been on a couple of times. Then the first show each month, Dave will draw a winner for pizza with a podcaster. Yeah, that means Dave will be there with you, and maybe even your favorite guest, like Zach Dresch. Enter as often as you like. Remember, DaveHollyHour.com, contact, email, Pizza with a Podcaster in the subject line and show faves in the message. After all, Books and Brews is the original Dave's fave. Pizza with a Podcaster, brought to you by Books and Brews Pizzeria, downtown Sioux Falls.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to Casey Kelderman and Brian Mensing for spending time on my show after I got to spend time on their show. Choose them for another podcast to listen to. Great stuff. Especially great guests, too. Oh, that's right. I was just on, wasn't I? Anyway, no, it's a fantastic podcast. It's called Backlot 605. You'll find it in the usual places. All right. Here's what's happening. Tonight, live jazz at R Wine Bar, the Jesse Christian Trio. That's at 6:30. Also tonight, 7 o'clock, my buddy Boston Steve and Victor Faini will be at the Barrel House. Boston Steve's been a guest here before. Friday night at Books and Brews at 7 o'clock, it's Brian Hoffman live. And then Saturday night, H2O House Band, which is Boston Steve and Victor Faini and Danny. He's going to be there playing the saxophone and all those other great reed instruments and so forth that he knows how to work on. While, you know, Victor's going to play the keyboards and Boston Steve will be strumming away. Also, Saturday, Boss's Drive-In Comedy, the sequel at 8 o'clock. This is where they do it in the parking lot. So it's like a drive-in theater type setup, except you're watching live comedy. And Zach Dresch, the man that you heard say, and from the Dipsy Doodle Studios, and he'll say a few words coming up in just a moment, too. He will be performing there. Also Saturday at 8 o'clock, our gal Elizabeth Hunstead, the original friend of the show, yes, F-O-T-S, Elizabeth Hunstead, live at the Sky Lounge in T. No trivia this week at T. I will be there next Friday, however, for game shows and talk shows trivia. And also, 9 o'clock at Club David on Saturday night, Big Red Rocket Riot. They are a phenomenal group. So you've got a few choices. But of course, we thank you for being our choice and that we are your choice to listen to a podcast. You are so great. Continue to like us, share it, etc. Make sure you go on Facebook. If you have not signed up to like the Dave Holly Hour yet, please do so. That way you get immediate, as soon as this puppy's uploaded and out there in the ether world, it's available to you. All right? And don't forget to go to DaveHollyHour.com. Make sure you get yourself in and see if you can't win pizza with a podcaster. And that's going to do it for this podcaster for this week. My name is Dave Holly. Remember, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.